We find Joshua open up in the middle and make a left. If you hit Genesis, you've gone too far, go right, and you'll find it somewhere in the middle between Genesis and Psalms. Joshua 4. Are you all there? If you got your tablets, real quick, just touch it and you're in Joshua. Cheaters. You should bring your real Bibles to church. No, I'm just kidding. I use it too. I do. I'm in the back and I use my iPhone for the Bible, and I shouldn't do that. At least I'm not teaching out of it. I'm pulling out my iPhone and teaching out of the Bible. I actually have the Bible, just so you know. All right. Joshua chapter 4. Let's pray and we'll get right into our text. Father, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity, for the chance to come into this place, to open up our Bibles, but more importantly, God, open up our hearts before you. And we ask, Lord, that this would not just be another Wednesday night service, another communion night, but we ask, Lord, that something amazing would happen here tonight, that we would leave this place forever changed, that we would not leave the same way that we walked in. And so, Father, I ask that you would have your way in and with us. Lord, that you would lift heavy burdens by those who come weighed down by the things of the world. God, that you would speak to hearts that need your touch. And if there are those who are here who maybe over the past month or year they have forgotten what you have done, Lord, that you would gently remind them of your goodness, Lord, your kindness, your mercies, and your love. So, Father, we commit this time to you, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd have your will your way. Lord, that you would use me to represent you well, and that nothing apart from you would flow through these lips this evening. And we commit this time to you, and we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. What do you remember? Remember? Yeah, what is it that you remember? It's remembering. It's those significant moments in our lives that we have deemed unforgettable. Yeah, those are the memories that we have. And so I ask, what is it that you remember? You remember, right? I mean, you remember when you got your driver's license for the first time? And you thought it was absolute freedom and the world was your playground, only to realize that having another licensed driver in the family meant having another chauffeur, right? That's what that really meant. Yeah, you remember your wedding day, right? Right? At least you should. I mean, you remember, and for some, you remember, yeah, it was the time your child was born. Oh, you'll never, not that because I don't have any kids, but you'll never forget those times. Yeah, it's what you remember. You've deemed them significant events in your life, and you might say, well, yeah, I got some memories, Jonathan, but they're memories I actually wish I would forget. Yeah, those are some of the memories that I've deemed unforgettable. And whether you remember those significant events that bring joy or whether you remember those times that were difficult, you remember, and I have to ask, in the midst of that, do you remember what Christ has done for you? Do you remember what Christ has done for you? It's been said that man's Achilles heel is his ability to forget. And I believe also it's a tactic of the enemy to cause us to forget, because when we forget, we lose sight of what we're actually thankful for. And as we forget and lose sight of what we're thankful for, we become ungrateful and bite into the lie that we can do things by ourselves and we don't need anyone or anything else. And it's for those reasons, it's why I believe the Lord tells Joshua and gives him specific instructions on how to remember him for what he has done and what he's about to do for Israel. And it's Joshua chapter 4, and it's a little bit of a backdrop before we get into our text. Moses is dead. He's now gone. And now Joshua has been called by God to fit in his shoes and to lead Israel into the promised land. Joshua is now the leader over Israel. And the Bible says that the Lord comes to Joshua and tells Joshua, it's time to get up and it's time to go into the promised land. The land that I promised Israel back when I led them out of Egypt some X amount of years ago. And so the Lord comes to Joshua. And prior to that, Israel had spent an extra 40 years living in the wilderness. 40 extra years because of their fear, because of their doubt, and because of their disobedience. They spent an extra 40 years in the wilderness. And this is what the Bible says. Israel was surviving in the wilderness. And I love the fact that it uses the word surviving, because they weren't living, and there's a difference. And I wonder how many Christians in their Christian life, in their Christianity, are just surviving in their Christian walk. They're not really living. They're just surviving, content with going with the status quo. No, they are just surviving. Yeah, I go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I give in my tithe. But that's about it. That's the extent of my living for the Lord. Yeah, I'm just, well, you're just surviving. You see, that was Israel. They were surviving in the wilderness. And the Lord comes and he talks to Joshua and says, Joshua, it's time to get up and it's time to go to the promised land. And so he gets everyone together. He gives them this call, this decree, but the Lord gives them specific instructions on how to remember what he was about to do. Read it with me in verse 1 of chapter 4. Here's what we read. And it came to pass that when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Verse 4, and Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, and one man from every tribe. The first thing that the Lord tells them to do is it's time to go. It was a call to go. They'd spent enough time dwelling and surviving in the wilderness. It was time for them to get up, and it was time for them to go into the promised land. It was time for them to stop surviving and time to start living and experiencing all that God had in store for them. How about you? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Do you find that things may be a little bit dry, maybe a little desolate, maybe a little bit barren in your walk with the Lord? And if I were to ask you, when was the last time you just heard from the Lord? When was the last time you just felt the Lord just speak to your heart concerning any matter? When you came and you sat and you said to him, Lord, I'm not leaving until I receive from you, until I hear from you. It was time to go, Israel. You spent enough time in the wilderness. And I just wonder, in a group this size, how many tonight the Lord might be tugging upon your heart and saying, hey, it's time to stop surviving and stop being content with the status quo. And it's really time to start living. Yeah, it's time to get rid of the sin. It's time to get rid of the carnality. It's time to get rid of the, well, you know what that is. And it's time to start listening to the voice of God and believing by faith that he is a promise keeper. And if he said, I'm going to take you into the promised land, believing him at his word and saying, all right, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to what you say. The Lord comes to Joshua and says, here's what you're going to do, Joshua. You're going to cross over the Jordan, but it's going to take some work. And that work, read it with me in verse 5. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. This may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? That you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. It was a call to go, but second, it was a call to obey. You see, Israel had been given a specific decree that when they crossed over, they were to create a memorial. They were to create an altar unto the Lord that would always be a representation of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And I love the fact that the Lord tells Israel, when you cross through, you are to take a stone on your shoulder. In other words, you can't just picture the priest walking through and just kind of kicking rocks over and going, oh, look, that's a really cool rock. I'll take that for the altar. They weren't looking for those rocks that you search to skip on the river. No, they had to carry them on their shoulders, which that tells me these were some pretty significant boulders that they had to carry. I mean, can you imagine talking to the priest of Israel? Hey, remember the altar? How can I forget? You know, my shoulder still hurts from carrying that bad boy. I mean, it was a specific decree, but it was also, well, it was also work. It was also difficult. Now, I don't know about you, but there certainly have been times in my Christian life when I have found things a little difficult. When I found that things didn't go exactly according to the plan, or things weren't going exactly how I thought they would or should go. I can't tell you how many times in my short amount of years in ministry that I've talked to people who said to me, you know, I've tried doing the Christianity thing, but it was just too hard. You don't know my family, you don't know my coworkers, you don't know my circumstance. And I tried living for the Lord, I tried doing things right, I tried reading my Bibles, but you don't understand, things just got too difficult, things just got too tough, and so I decided, I'm going to do my own thing. I was talking to a young man a few weeks ago, actually last week, who was telling me the same story. His family was, one of his members of the family was diagnosed with an illness. One difficulty on top of the other, and he found himself saying, it's just too hard. You know, I didn't know Christianity was going to be like this. I thought that when you became a Christian, it was all green lights and free passes at Disneyland. I didn't think it was going to be. You didn't think it was going to be difficult. I didn't think it was going to be tough. I didn't think it was going to be. You know, Jesus never said it was going to be easy. But he did say it would be worth it. And there's a difference. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but he did say it would be worth it. Now, I would love the fact that if we could leave church every single week and just hit a button and all of a sudden we became all super Christians, that would be great. Able to leap bounds and lead thousands of people to Christ and do all these great miracles, that would be absolutely amazing. It'd be like that staple button for Christianity. But oftentimes that doesn't work that way. It's through those trials, it's through those difficulties that we find ourselves experiencing the goodness and grace of God. And I got to submit, maybe it was designed that way. I mean, what do you mean designed that way? Well, think it through. Those trials, those difficulties, your hardships, I don't know about you, but it sure makes me long for something more. It sure makes me long for something better. I mean, if everything was perfect and everything went according to plan and there were no problems, no sin, no sickness, and everything was just hunky-dory, that when Jesus came and said, hey, time to go to heaven, no, I'm good. Earth is just right where I want to be. Making good money, I got no sickness, I'm debt-free, I got no problems, all my family loves me, friends adore me. We're all good, Jesus. No, I submit that maybe those difficulties were a reminder, this isn't the end for you and for me. That those difficulties were a reminder, Lord, I don't want this to be the end for me. Oh, there's got to be something more. Lord, you have something in store for me. It's the ultimate promised land. It's eternity with Christ. the trials, the difficulties, all they come. And that's actually why one of my favorite verses is found in Isaiah 46, where the Lord speaks to Israel. And here's what the Lord says to him, to them, Israel, that I am refining you through the furnace of suffering. But I will rescue you for my name's sake, for I will not allow my name to be tarnished, nor share my glory with any other idol. He is refining them through the furnace of suffering. Now, I wish it read, I'm refining you through the furnace of blessings. But that doesn't exist. I'm refining you through the furnace of sufferings, because there's something about when you're going through the trial, when you're going through the difficulty, when you're going through that hardship, there is something about experiencing the Lord intimately and passionately through those moments. As it's been said before, the church is 3 miles wide, but only 3 inches deep. That when we go through those circumstances, the result is depth in your relationship to the Lord. Again, he never said it would be easy. He just said it would be worth it. That is why I love what David writes in Psalms 27, verses 13 and 14. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And in the Hebrew, it is actually emphatic. He is saying, wait upon God. I would have lost heart, David said. That's his way of saying, I wanted to quit. I wanted to throw in the towel. I was done with this whole man of God thing. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, so wait on the Lord. Israel was called by God to take these stones as a remembrance of God's faithfulness. And can you imagine walking through that Jordan River as it was being parted, much like God did with Moses in the Red Sea? And they're walking through, and they carry these stones on their shoulders as a remembrance of what God was going to do. I mean, they're about to go into the promised land. I mean, they're excited about what God is going to do, and they're walking through the dry land. I mean, that in and of itself is a miracle. That in and of itself is a testimony of God's faithfulness. So the ark was sent in front of Israel. The priests were walking through. They were called to take stones, and that it was supposed to be a reminder for generations to come. And I love when it asked, when the children come and ask you, what do these stones mean to you? That you'll be able to say, this is what God did. What do these stones mean to you? They would ask their parents. They would ask their grandparents, what do these stones mean to you? And I just got to wonder, parents, grandparents, if you're here, when was the last time you sat down with your kids and grandkids and testified of God's goodness and grace in your life? And testified what God did in your life? Because there's nothing more powerful, I believe, and nothing more impactful, I believe, than when a father, when a mother, when a grandfather, when a grandmother says, sit down and let me tell you of God's faithfulness, and let me tell you of God's goodness in my life. I love when I get together with people in my life that have become mentors to me, and they testify of God's goodness and grace. They tell me of God's mercies. They tell me of those, you know, those God stories. You know those stories that you hear in people's lives, that they were completely lost and way out in left field and completely isolated, but somehow God gripped them and somehow God got their attention. And those stories that you look on and go, that's absolutely amazing. God, I want to have those God stories in my life. I want to have those moments where God has just revealed himself to me in such powerful ways that I would be able to share with others. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you what God has revealed to me as I've journeyed with him, as I've walked with him in his faithfulness and his goodness. And I encourage you, parents, again, nothing more powerful than when you sit down and you share God's amazing stories of what he's done for you. And when you sit your kids down and say, this is what God can do for you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, this is how God met. This is how God redeemed. And that it stirs this kind of exhortation, this kind of encouragement within those who hear. That's why I love hearing about testimonies. I love just hearing about how people came to Christ. I love hearing about how the Lord spoke to them and ministered to them, and there they were. And they were in that one place, church, or they were in a living room. And God tugged upon their hearts, and they received. It was just a couple of years ago that we were at the Harvest Crusade in Anaheim. And there was I think it was a 94-year-old man who walked down the stadium to give his life to Christ. My first thought was like, well, talk about cutting it close, you know? You're about two steps from being a greeter, but you got it, you know? But there he was, and he came down and he gave his life to Christ. You have that story, those of you who have committed your life to Christ. You remember when. That's your story. That's your testimony. That's your, well, is it your remembrance? Is it that one thing that you have and say, God, this is your doing, and I will remember what you have done for me? They were called to set up a memorial on the other side that would prove to be a reminder of God's faithfulness in generations to come. Now read it with me in verse 7 again. Then you shall answer them, at the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. One, it was a call to go. They were called to get out of a place of complacency, out of a place of surviving, and into a place where they really began to live for the Lord and to obey and to experience the promised land and the promises of God. Two, it was a call to obey, because no matter how difficult it would be, and difficulties would come, chapters 5 and 6 would be a testimony of that, that they would recall God's goodness and God's grace because of the memorials that would stand. And three, it was a call to remember and to never forget. And let me say that again, Christian. It was a call to remember and never, ever, no, ever, no, ever forget what God has done and will do for you. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 that he who began a good work is faithful to complete it until the very end. You have a call, I have a call to remember what Christ has done. But do you remember that? Have you experienced it? I was here recently, I had a chance to attend a trip with our school. We went to a couple of cities, and one of them was New York. And we had a chance to visit the World Trade Center and the Twin Towers, Ground Zero. And the memorial pools were set up. And so we got in line and we walked around, and I kind of found myself alone, not with the group, and was just at it was the North Tower Memorial Pool. And I was just leaning up against it, and I was kind of reading some of the names of the people that are etched around, you know, the edge of this memorial pool. It's huge, there's two of them. And I found myself just, you guys ever people watch? I do that. Because some people do some really weird things. And they make for great sermon materials in times to come. I was just happened to be just watching people. And I was really interesting. Number one, because some people were just, you know, standing up against the tower, you know, the memorial pool, and they were like taking pictures and smiling, doing the whole thumbs up thing. Oh, that's not really a place you smile, do a whole thumbs up thing, but whatever. Some of them were just sitting there with their pamphlets. They were just kind of going through. They were, you know, pointing and oh, this is where this tower, and here's the new World Trade Center. And some of them were just kind of walking and pointing and just going, wow, I can't believe this is where and this is where. And from people from all different backgrounds, all different nationalities, cultures, and walks of life, there they were with their maps, reading the history about what happened on that day, September 11th. Some of them were just standing there and just kind of in awe. Most of them, I noticed, read their pamphlets, got a quick history, looked around, thought, oh, this is crazy. And they put their pamphlet back in their pocket, off they went. And here's what I noted in my own head. If you took someone who was there on September 11th, 2001, they certainly would approach these two memorials a little differently. If you took someone who was there on September 11th and experienced that day, they wouldn't come to the memorials as, yep, that's where I was on that day. Crazy day. No, for some, if you took someone who was on that, who was there on that day, no, they would walk to that memorial. Some of them would be angry as they would remember that devastating day. Some would be speechless, but I submit most would be more emotional than anything else. Because they would stand there and they would look and they would recall to mind that day, what happened that day, and they would hear the sounds of that tragic day. Why? Because there was something about when you experience that event, that memorial means something completely different. There is something about the experience of it all that when the memorial has now been erected in your life, it's not just some distant event. No, not a distant event, but it's actually a testimony of what you experienced on that day. And I submit to you, when you experience the things of God, when you experience God in your life, and it doesn't just become some distant event, but a testimony of God's faithfulness written on the tablet of your hearts that is indicative to the way you live and love Christ. It's not just an event. Oh, yeah, the memorial. We walked through the waters. It was crazy. The Jordan parted. And anyways, are we going to make some more whatever tonight? There is something about when you experience that. And there is something about when you've gone through that and you've experienced God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's grace. There is something about when you're in the midst of that difficulty, when you're in the midst of that trial and you can't sleep at night and you're up all night and you find yourself on your knees crying out to God and you feel like the windows of heaven were open and the Lord reached down and reminded you, I will carry you through this. I will see you through this. I will deliver you through this. And you felt God's comfort. You felt God's peace. You felt God's love. There is something about when you've experienced it that when that memorial is erected, you look on with different set of eyes and a different kind of heart because it's a testimony of God's goodness and His faith, and it's indicative to how He will continue to move in your life. But do you have that? Do you have it? Or do you find that you're, oh, well, it's just this. I know for me, there are times in my life where I've experienced God's goodness and His mercies and grace. I have set up those memorials as a reminder to me, He's not done yet. And He will see me through. He has a plan. He has a purpose, even when I don't fully understand that. And I would hope for you, Christian, that those memorials in your life serve as great testimonies of what God has done. And with that, you would approach him a little differently. And I just wonder, when the generations came and the children asked, those stones, we found ourselves playing by the river. What do those mean? What do those mean, Dad? That there might be a touch of emotion as they would sit down and say, well, let me tell you. You see, we were in Israel. We were a nation. We were in the wilderness. Some of us, to be honest, were losing hope that we would ever find ourselves in the promised land. But then God came to us, and he spoke to us through his servant Joshua. And we found ourselves walking on dry land again. We found that the rivers were parted again. We found that God wasn't done with us. He had a plan. He had a purpose. And even though we had fears and doubts, it wasn't going to stop him from accomplishing those plans and purpose. And so you see here, son, you are here today because of God's faithfulness. And so when you look at those stones, don't just see a pile of rocks. Nope. See his goodness and grace. And give glory to God. Because you're here because of his goodness. You mean I'm here today because God? That's exactly right. And I just wonder if you have those memorials in your life. Some of you do. And those memorials, those testimonies, well, it was a marriage on the brink of absolute destruction. But you allowed the Lord to come in, to have his will, his way. Now you sit as a testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness because he redeemed and restored. It was relationships that were severed. It was off track, and now you find yourself here again today. Maybe you were a Christian and you got a little distant, found yourself walking away from the things of God, but God tugged upon your heart, and here you are sitting here today. Church on a Wednesday night, because no one in the world goes to church on a Wednesday night. You know, people look at Wednesday as, oh, it's the middle of the week, two more days till the weekend. And for you Christians that are like in love with Jesus, I love Wednesdays. I get to go to church. Church. Who goes to church on a Wednesday? I do. And let me tell you why I do. You see those memorials in my life? That's a testimony of what God has done and what God will continue to do. It was a call to remember. And lastly, verse 9, then Joshua set out 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Now, I don't know if you noted that, but there were two memorials. One of them was on the bank of the river when they got on the other side. Now, that memorial was to testify of God's goodness and grace to Israel and generations to come. The other memorial was set up in the middle of the Jordan. In the middle of the Jordan. You think, well, that doesn't make any sense, because when the waters came down, that memorial would be, well, nobody would notice that. And that's exactly right. That memorial wasn't for man. That memorial was for God. The one memorial was to testify of God's goodness and grace for Israel. The other memorial was to testify unto the Lord. And you can't miss this. In all the busyness of life, we must not forget one most important thing. It's about his glory, and it's about him. In the busyness of life and all the things that we have to do, we must not forget that most important thing. God, it's about your name, your glory, and your renown. It's not about me. And it's not about what I can get out of a matter. It's not about what I can achieve. Lord, it is simply about you. And so this altar, this memorial is set for you and only you. And I wonder if when Joshua would go and everyone crossed over and he got some stones and went back in the middle of the Jordan, what is he doing? Joshua, the memorial is over here. You guys take care of that. I'm going to take care of this one. This one's for the Lord. It's those moments that you'll never forget. It's those moments that you say, Lord, it was then, it was there that you met me. And it's a reminder, this life is not the end for me. You have something more. Do you have those memorials in your life, Christian? And how often do you visit those memorials? How often do you go back and to look on and to remember what God has done? To remember who he is. To remember his faithfulness. It was years ago, one of the first Bible studies I ever gave. I had just gotten done with it, and I was driving home, and I was praying to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I want to teach about you passionately. The teachers that I listened to as a kid were very passionate teachers, and I love that because it got me excited, you know. And I was praying to the Lord, Lord, I want to teach about you passionately. God, would you make me a passionate teacher for you? And I'll never forget what the Lord told me because it was like right there. I was driving home, I was on the freeway, my little memorial, I have it right there on the freeway on I-10, right before I-10 hits I-19. Going towards Phoenix. That's my memorial, one right there. When I drive by, I'm like, I remember this place. Off I go. But I remember what the Lord spoke to me. He said to me, Jonathan, you can't teach about me passionately unless you experience me passionately. And in my ignorance and somewhat arrogance, I said, Lord, then let me experience you passionately. Now, I don't recommend you pray that unless you want to know what's to follow. Because the next few years would be some very difficult years for me. And what I would later find out is the word passion, its root word is the word pathos, which means to suffer. The Lord answered my prayer. And I experienced the Lord in some very passionate ways. And I still do to this day. And I'm very grateful for those moments that God allows me to experience passion for him. Because they constantly serve as memorials to me. That I can look back and say, God, man, you're so good. And you're so faithful. And this right now will serve as a constant memorial in my life of your goodness and grace. And my exhortation to you, that you would have those memorials. And if in fact you've lost sight of those memorials, that you would do tonight what the Lord has called us to do through communion, and that is to remember what Christ has done. That if you find yourself a little distant, if you find yourself a little at odds with the Lord, for whatever the reasons may be, that you would do business with him tonight and say, God, I'm not leaving here tonight without being right with you. And I'm not leaving here tonight without getting things right with you. It was a call to go, get out of complacency. It was a call to do, no matter how difficult it may be. It was a call to remember forever what God would do, and a remembrance unto the Lord, a call to never forget. And I always like to say, lastly, a call to press on. Later, Israel would face some great difficulties. Jericho and Ai and all throughout Joshua, you read about those difficulties. But when they looked back at God's faithfulness, they knew God would meet them again. And so it is with you. When you look back at the storyboard of your life and you see God's goodness and God's faithfulness in your life and you say, man, God, if you can meet me here, then there is no doubt that you can meet me now. But if you can meet me in the midst of that difficulty, then, Lord, you can meet me in the midst of this difficulty, because it is about you. It is about your name. It is about your glory. It is about your renown, God. And I just want to be and do exactly what you've called me to do. And should you do that, should you set your heart upon those things, then you will watch the waters part. You will watch yourself walk on dry land, and you will watch yourself testifying to God's goodness, to God's mercies, and God's grace, and God's love. And your life will be that memorial, that example, that city on a hillside that cannot be hidden of God's goodness in your life. That others would look and say, you know, there really is something different about you. Have a seat. How much time do you have? Let me tell you this story of how God met me. In whatever circle of influence you have, friends, coworkers, classmates, whatever, you will see God move. And in those moments of discouragement, you look back at the memorials and say, Lord, yeah, you're just so good. You ever found yourself just driving down the road and just thanking the Lord for those times that he met you when he thought he really wasn't going to meet you? You remember those times when you were like, I don't know if you're going to come through, Lord, but I got to hold on and trust in you. And then the Lord came through and you were like, oh, man, Lord, you're so good, right? Called up your friends. Let me tell you the story. God's amazing. Updated your Facebook status. This is my story, you know. God is so good on Twitter, hashtag he's amazing, you know. You remember those things of what God has done. That's my encouragement to you. As we approach the Lord's table tonight with communion, that we would pause to remember what God has done and look forward to see what God will do with hearts that are completely yielded to him. Amen? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word truly does have the power to change lives. We thank you that your word does not come back void, God. And I pray for those who are here who would maybe be struggling in their walk, maybe a little bit at a distance from you, or maybe their Christianity has been characterized by dryness and barrenness. They, like Israel, find themselves just surviving in the wilderness. That, Lord, as we approach your table to remember what you have done, that, Lord, you would remind them of your love. That, Lord, you're not done with them. That they haven't done something too great that you can't redeem. And so, God, I ask that you would bless this time as a holy, intimate time with you. And so as we set our hearts upon what you've done, Lord, we say thank you. And we ask, God, that you would continue to have your way in and with us. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.